Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, especially with new topics every single week and jabbing you with your daily dose of UFC. And I am so excited to finally be back. If no one knows, I was on a little trip around the world. That's right, I was overseas in Italy. So I'm finally back in the United States. And, you know, I'm out of college. My future's ahead of me, and it's time to grind and lock in. And I've been waiting to record this, but I kid you not, guys, I think my jet lag has just been so bad. I'm busy throughout the whole day. Then the night comes. I'm so tired. I'm going to bed at 8, 9. I don't think I've gone to bed before 10, maybe. I don't think I have since I've returned. So happy to be back. Happy to be covering this weekend's UFC Vegas 107 event. Nothing too exciting. It actually goes down the day I'm recording this, so I'm sure most of you will be listening to this after it's already happened. But nonetheless, I have to go through and record this. I have so many things I want to talk about, but I just think for today's episode, we are going to just go through run-of-the-mill UFC Vegas predictions, some new UFC fights, and then once I get back down to college in Mankato and my Wi-Fi is amazing, I think we're going to start hammering out some more episodes because I would love to do a whole episode just on Italy. I know we are going to be doing a UFC Vegas 107 recap episode. You got Money in the Bank coming up, UFC 300, and what are we on now? UFC 316? What are we even on now for the UFC pay-per-views? Is it 316? I believe it is. So many things to talk about. But as for today's episode, let's get right on into it with some new UFC fights. Some new UFC fights that have been announced. They've been blessing us with so many fights. Thank you so much, Dana White. I have like 12 right now to hit you guys with. So first off, UFC 317 going down June 28th. Of course, Ito Pura, Charles Oliveira, International Fight Week. Going to be epic. Great prelim matchup here as a lightweight bout between Terrence T-Rex McKinney and Vyacheslav Borshev is going down. Vyacheslav Borshev, I honestly thought he was going to be way better than he is when he came to join the UFC. He's 3-4 with a draw. Now, nonetheless, exciting in every fight he's in, but, I mean, his ceiling is Chris Duncan, James Lontop, and Mahashop. Those are the best people that he can beat, and then you have, you know, Nazem Zadikov. He fought to a draw, but then you got Chase Hooper going out there and absolutely obliterating him. As for Terrence McKinney, 16-70, 6-4 in the UFC, and with those 23 professional bouts, he's never been to a decision. He holds wins over Matt Frivola and Ferris Zayam, which are pretty good, but other than that, dude, he takes too many risks, and at this point in his career, I don't know if he's ever going to change his game plan to try and make a run, but nonetheless, exciting matchup, and without doubt, it is not going the distance. UFC 319 has a new bout. By the way, UFC 319 is going down in Chicago, Illinois. My boy Parker, my cousin, he called me up last night. He was like, Zachary, I heard that UFC is coming to Chicago August 16th, and me and my cop buddies are getting tickets. You're coming, right? And I was like, oh, hell yeah, you can count me in. So your boy, I think, is going to not only his first UFC event, but a pay-per-view in Chicago, Illinois, and that pay-per-view is DDP versus Khamzat. So I'm a little giddy when I hear these UFC 319 fights being announced. It's probably going to be a bag. You know, your boy's probably going to be dropping hundreds of dollars, but hey, nonetheless, it's worth it to go to an event that I literally talk about every single week. So this matchup, flyweight, the number 11 ranked flyweight, Tim Elliott finally back in action. I can't even remember the last time Tim Elliott fought as he takes out the number 15th ranked Kai Asakura. Kai Asakura finally getting a second fight in the UFC. You know, I've been waiting for an announcement, and it'll be 8 months removed from his fight with Alexander Pantoja. And what I will say in that Alexander Pantoja fight is Kasker's striking looked on point. Okay, he looked on point. He also ate clean shots from Pantoja, but Alexander Pantoja just has reached a point where it's like his game plan is like, I can literally just take you down and submit you. And it's as simple as that. And, you know, Kai Asakura, in his 5 career losses, it has been shown that being taken down is his weakness and getting submitted. So, Tim Elliott, he's a grappler, but the striking with Kai Asakura, I think, is going to be too much. This one could be on the main card, but I have a feeling they're loading up this Chicago event. So, probably going to be on the prelims. Nonetheless, good fight matchup right there. UFC Nashville has a new fight, welterweight division, July 12th. Chris Curtis finally back in action. I can't remember last time Chris Curtis fought. When did he fight Calvin Gastelum? Did he fight, was it Daniel Rodriguez he fought last? I don't even know, but He takes on Max Payne Griffin. Max Griffin coming off a win over, was it Jeremiah Wells? He's coming off a good win himself. I like that. Two aged veterans, welterweight division. That's a fun fight. Chris Curtis, we'll see how he does at welterweight. It's kind of hard to picture him at welterweight, being how long he was at middleweight, but I'd probably back the Action Man in that bout. Another welterweight matchup for you in Nashville, Tennessee. Jake Matthews, Jake the Celtic Kid Matthews, takes on Chidi Enchukwuni. Chidi Enchukwuni, after being 2-3 in the middleweight division, has turned it around. He beat Max Griffin, who we just talked about. He's beaten Elizio Zaleski dos Santos. He's beaten Rhys McKee, and now he's 3-0 at welterweight. 25-10 professional record. And he's taking on Jake Matthews. Jake Matthews, for being 31 years old, is a staple of the men's welterweight division. 21 UFC fights. He's been fighting since he was 21, I'm pretty sure, in the company. And he's just never really made it past the hump. You know, he's beaten Francisco Prado, Li Jingliang, Diego Sanchez. But other than that, you know, he'll get a shot against, I don't even know. Has he even been given, like, a ranked opponent over the last few, whenever? I mean, as I look at the welterweight division, I think he may have fought in Vicente Luque? Honestly, I don't even know. I really don't even know. So, good matchup nonetheless. We'll probably be on the prelims. Good for them. UFC Nashville has another matchup. Heavyweight division. Ooh, light heavyweight. Junior Tafa. Junior Tafa going down to light heavyweight to take on Tuco Tukos. And Tuco Tukos, I believe, I am so confused how he's still in the UFC. He's 0-2, and he's been knocked out in round one in both of them. And as for Junior Tafa, he's 2-3 and has just taken some pretty brutal losses. And he's been, like, kind of, like, whining like a baby, like last time when Volter Walker submitted him. So this is set up for Junior Tafa to get a win, but if he loses, he is so getting cut from the company. Bellagio Key has a new matchup against Michael Aswell on today's card we're going to be talking about. And I don't have any fighter notes on Michael Aswell. He was supposed to be taking on Markwell Medeiros, but nonetheless, Markwell Medeiros is coming out. So Michael Aswell, it looks like he's about 24 years old. He's from, just says USA. I have no idea anything about him, but we'll be talking about that later on the episode. UFC 318 has a fun welterweight matchup as Francisco Prado is back as he takes on Nikolai Veretanina. Francisco Prado somehow is 1-3 in the UFC with three of the most entertaining losses I've ever seen. I'm very perplexed by that, but you know what? This will be a great opportunity for him to bounce back. He's taking on Nikolai Veretanov, who himself is 0-2 in the UFC, and I don't even know a lickety split about him, so this is a fight that both these guys will need to win. UFC 316 has a new matchup as Chaos Williams will be taking on Albert Taduzian, I don't even know how to say his name, but Chaos 15-4, Albert 13-3. He's coming from Armenia, and Chaos Williams has just been waiting to get a fight. He's just waiting around, like, book me a fight. Now it's taking place. Another one for you guys. Lightweight division, Michael Johnson finally back in action. I can't remember last time I saw Michael. Was he knocking out someone last time? I can't even recall. But he takes on Daniel Zaluber, and they are trying to get Daniel Zaluber back in the win category. Dude has so much potential. But last time out, I believe he lost to Francisco Prado, if I'm not mistaken. I can't recall. But Daniel Zaluber, he's in EA Sports UFC 5. So he's in the video game, and he needs to get a big win over Michael Johnson if he wants to stay relevant. And the last fight that I will mention here, the last biggest one probably that we've gotten, UFC Nashville has not even its co-main event, might I add, Wonderboy Thompson finally back since I'm pretty sure he fought Shavkat Rakhmonov. It's been over a year. It's been a long time coming. Takes on Gabriel Bonfim. Gabriel Bonfim, of course, 4-1 in the UFC. He lost to, Nicholas Dalby last time out, but he bounced back with a win in his last contest against Trevin Giles, and now he's here. He's looking to win against a ranked opponent, and this is a nightmare matchup for Wonderboy Thompson. They keep giving him grapplers, and it's getting to a point where I'm pretty sure it's an inside job with the UFC to just get Wonderboy out of the rankings, but hey, that's a fun contest. The summer's looking packed. We got a lot of fun UFC events coming at you throughout the year, but let's get right on into today's event. It's very low-key. It's very lackluster, and, you know, there's so many things I wanted to talk about, but we're just going to stick with this because my parents are actually running a garage sale today, and I have to go out and bring this to the library to upload it. You know, it's a different environment back here compared to down at school, you know, and especially traveling abroad. I've learned that the world is so big, and there's just so many things to see and to do, but we're not getting all philosophical Let's talk about some UFC fights. So first off, women's strawweight division. We got Ryanna Dos Santos taking on Elise Ardeline. Ryan minus 265 is the favorite. Elise plus 215 is the underdog. Ryanna Dos Santos, 14-8. Alice, 9-7. 5'3 to 5'2. Alice does have an inch in height. Both women are 6'2. Or both women have 62-inch reach. And both stand in the orthodox stance. They are about as similar as you can get. We'll start with the favorite, Ryanna Dos Santos, 29 years old from Brazil, 10 finishes in 14 wins, 2 KOs, and 8 subs. And of her 8 defeats, she's only ever been finished twice. These two are actually supposed to fight October 19th. Fun fact, I didn't even know that, but now that fight didn't happen, so now they're fighting on UFC Vegas 107. Ryanna, 0-2. In the UFC, also lost on Damage Contender Series, all of them by decision. And both her UFC fights she's lost are by split decision. And if I don't remember, I'm trying to remember correctly, but I think a lot of people thought that both of those fights she won. I don't really think it matters at this point. You know, you're 14-8, 29, women's strawweight division. She could maybe make a run, but I don't really know. So this is a make or break for Ryanna Dos Santos. If she doesn't win, she's getting axed from the company. Same thing goes for Alice Ardeline, 33 years old from Romania, but now fights out of England. 8 finishes in 9 wins, 4 KOs, and 4 subs. And of her 7 defeats, she's been submitted twice. She's also 0-2 in the UFC, split decision loss to Shauna Bannon in July 2024. And on that fight card when she was supposed to fight Ryanna Dos Santos, she took on Melissa Martinez on short notice, and Melissa Martinez somehow won despite being outstruck by 20. So this one is 50-50, and I feel like the smart move would be to pick Ryanna Dos Santos, and honestly I just might, because she is almost a minus 300 favorite for some reason. But at this point, neither women is exciting, neither women is enticing. We're going to go with Ryanna Dos Santos, but that's just because, screw it, why not? She's the favorite. I mean, honestly, this is a very bland fight card, let me tell you that straight out. After that, lightweight matchup, Elagi the Zulu Warrior Oki takes on Michael the Texas Kid, as well, supposed to be Marquel Medeiros. And actually, before Marquel Medeiros, it was supposed to be, Abdul Kawadi Al-Sahid or whatever that guy's name is. I think he's the one that actually got picked up on, sexual assault charges. So, Balaji, he's been trying everything he can to get an opponent, and finally he has Michael as well. Balaji, 9-2, Michael, 10-2, 5'10 to 5'8, 2 inches in height for Balaji, 4 inches in reach as well. For the Zulu Warriors, 73-69, both men stand in the orthodox position. Balaji Oki, of course, is the favorite on the betting odds. And as for Balaji Oki, you know, coming in 29 years old from Belgium, 6 of his 9 wins have came by finish. He's gotten 5 KOs and 1 sub. Last time he was supposed to fight was February 1st, but now he's fighting here, so good for him. Came off a Daywise Contender Series in 2023, won his lone fight in 2024, but at the end of 2024, actually, he got submitted by Chris Duncan in round number 1 in a fight he was winning, and he just gave up his neck and got submitted in Paris. So Balaji back for revenge as he takes on Michael as well. Michael as well fought in the last season of Daywise Contender Series, fought Bogdan Grodd to a close split decision, and after watching Bogdan Grodd's debut against Lucas Alexander, where he knocked him out in round 2, I can confidently say that Michael Aswell is probably a pretty dominant guy. I just don't know anything about him. I don't. His nickname's the Texas Kid. We're fighting in Las Vegas, and honestly, I'm going to ride at the Belgium. Balaji Oki. Balaji, he mixes it up with the striking and with the grappling. Obviously, I thought the first fight was going to go to a decision, but for this one, I think Balaji Oki could get a finish here. I'm pretty confident Balaji could get a finish. I'm thinking maybe a round 2 knockout, maybe a quick round 1 submission. I don't know. We're riding with Balaji Oki, though. I remember him off of Damas Quintero series. He's exciting. He's fun. And, you know, when you're taking on guys like Michael Aswell, very unknown, short notice, these are fights you must win if you want to advance your career. Sticking with the lightweight division, we got Kurt the Hurt Alibo taking on Jordan the Monkey King. Leave it. I absolutely adore this matchup. Kurt, 22-9 with a no contest. Jordan, 11-3. 5'11 to 5'9, 2 inches in height for Kurt, 1 inch in reach for Jordan, 71-7. Anthony. Southpaw with that left hand for Jordan Orthodox with the right stance for Kurt Hollebone. Not a big fan of Kurt Hollebone. I think he's boring. I don't think he's amounted to much in the UFC, but here he is taking on Jordan Leavitt, and this is a great opportunity for him to get a win. Kurt plus 165 is the underdog, minus 200. Jordan's coming in as the favorite. Kurt 38 from Louisiana. That does kind of suck, you know, being from Louisiana. They couldn't get him on that 318 card on the prelims, but beggars can't be choosers. 17 of his 22 wins have came by finish, 7 KOs and 10 subs. And of his 9 defeats, he's only ever been finished twice. Of course, this is his second stint in the UFC. He had a stint from 2013. Actually, this is his third stint in the UFC. He had a stint from 2013. He went 0-2. Then he had a stint from 2017 to 2019. Went 0-3 with a no contest. Then, of course, won the Ultimate Fighter. Then lost to Trey Ogden, beat some Kanan Krychki guy. Last time he fought in March, Alexander Hernandez beat him, and now he's sitting at 2-2 and is in a must-win position. So, Kurt Hollebone, overall, if you look at his three stints in the UFC, is sitting at a beautiful 2-7 UFC record. So, that's right, Kurt Hollebone ain't done much. Ain't done much in the UFC, and especially last time out against Alexander Hernandez. Clearly was better than Alexander Hernandez. I'll kid you not. Alexander Hernandez might be the one fighter that everyone thought was going to be good and just absolutely so average. And Kurt had the fight won, and Alexander leaned on the grappling and was able to get the victory in the later rounds. So, Kurt looking to get back in the win category as he takes on Jordan Leavitt. Jordan Leavitt, 29 years old, from Las Vegas. Yeah, I guess technically he's the hometown guy. 8 of his 11 wins by finish, 2 KOs and 6 subs. He's more known as a submission artist. 2 of his 3 defeats have came by sub, so if Kurt's looking to get a win, it's probably through the submission game. And he was also supposed to take on that Abdul Karim Al-Sawadi on February 1st card. So him and Bellagio Key just can't seem to fight that guy, can they? Jordan, member of the UFC since 2020. It's been pretty much win-loss, 2 wins, loss. I mean, his losses aren't too bad. Claudio Puelles, Paddy Pimblett, most recently in November of 2023. Chase Hooper. Oh my gosh, we haven't seen Jordan Leavitt in a long time. Wow, he must have been injured or something. But yeah, Jordan, he's all right. Jordan Leavitt is all right. That's all I'll say for that. You know, he's sitting at a 4-3 UFC record. This is going to be a big win for him if he can get it done. And I do think he'll get it done. I think he's going to go out. I think he's going to submit Kurt Hollebone probably early round one, late round one, honestly, with the grappling. There's just little to be loved about either of these fighters. And what there is little of the love that there is to give, I'm going to be giving it to Jordan Leavitt. So I'm backing Jordan Leavitt to beat Kurt Hollebone. But we'll have to see. We'll have to see how this one goes. I am a little curious. So we're back in Jordan Leavitt to get it done by submission. Following that, we're dropping down to flyweight as Rafael Pastor Filho is back in action as he takes on Alan Piro Osso Nascimento. Rafael Filho, Alan Nascimento. Two notable names that I have always been covering since I started this podcast. And Filho plus 130 is the underdog. Alan Nascimento minus 155 is the favorite. Filho 16-3. Allen 20-6. These two dudes have fought in a lot. 5'8 to 5'7, 1 inch in height for Allen. Also a reach for Allen, 69-68. And the orthodox stance is the fighting stance for both of these gentlemen. Let's start with Rafael Filho, man. 32, man. From Brazil, 15 of his 16 wins by finish, 5 KOs and 10 subs. Of his 3 defeats, he's been submitted twice. And he was actually supposed to fight August 10th. Against Alan Nascimento, and so last time he actually fought was March of 2024, but fun fact, in December, he beat Amir Albazi in a grappling match, and funny enough, Amir Albazi is the number 3 ranked flyweight in the world, so Rafael Filho, an excellent grappler, his only loss in the UFC is to Mohamed Moikaev in round 3, and by the way, that was a tough fight. Currently sitting at 2-1, all both of them round one submissions. His wins, you know, I think Rafael Filho is super talented. I really think he's good. He ran through Ode Osborne when they fought over a year ago in March, and that was a dominant victory. And honestly, I think if you put him against someone like Tim Elliott and Steph Kai Sakura in that matchup, I would back Filho to win that. But this will be a big stepping stone to see if Filho can get past someone like Alan Nascimento. In a similar position, he's on a 2-fight winning streak. You know, he's 33, also from Brazil. 1 knockout and 15 subs give him 16 of his 20 wins by finish. But he's had 4 straight canceled bouts. All right, this dude has been unable to get a fighter. You know, in 2023, was supposed to take on Tim Elliott and Tumidarji. In 2024, was supposed to take on Rafael Filho. And in 2025, I don't even know. I wrote a little note here. 2025. Oh, he was supposed to fight Asul Mabayev. You know, that Asul Mabayev ended up taking on Manel Cape in the main event. So, Allen coming in, two-fight winning streak, but hasn't fought since January 2023. He's also 2-1. In the UFC, you know, I think this is a pivotal fight for both of these guys. I'm backing Filho. I'm backing Rafael Filho. I was going to pick him before I even really looked at the stats here, but this is going to be interesting. I kid you, it's going to be interesting. Both these guys are such high-level grapplers. It is honestly insane. And by the way, Allen's only lost to Girlin Bekov, right? His only loss is to Girlin Bekov, and Tagir's the number 10 flyweight in the world. So this will be a big matchup for both of these guys. I'm back in Filho. This should be exciting. I think of all the four fights I've just discussed, this one's going to be the most exciting. And by the way, guys, this is only a 10-fight card. This is only a 10-fight card. We've had so many freaking cancellations. I mean, we lost Trevin Giles, Andreas Gustafsson, because Trevin Giles apparently fainted or something at the weigh-ins. I have no idea what took place there. Also, Macy Barber missed weight for the main event. Marquel Medeiros pulled out of his fight. I mean, this event's been cursed. This event's been so cursed. I wish I could actually see all the canceled bouts that have taken place on this card. Should we actually look at that real quick? I might actually look at that real quick because there have been so many that have just been falling apart, and I don't understand why it's been falling apart, but it has. So quick little look here. We'll go to Tapeology super fast because if I'm not mistaken, we've had a good number that have fallen apart. And we scroll to the bottom. Yeah, Obon Elliott was supposed to take on Ramiz Brahimaj. Soo Young Koo was supposed to take on Billy Ray Goff. We're going to talk about that matchup later. Andreas Gustafsson was supposed to take on Jeremiah Wells. Jeremiah pulled out. Then came in Trevin Giles. Then Trevin Giles pulled out. Like I said, Marquel Medeiros had to withdrew. Yeah, so this event's been kind of cursed. These UFC Vegas events are always super goofy, but nonetheless, we push on to more exciting matchups. And next up, with what I believe is our final prelim matchup. That's right, the prelims. Well, there's only five fights. It's a Savage one. Middleweight division as Zachary Savage Reese takes on Dusko Thunder Todorovic. Zachary minus 280, Dusko plus 190. Reese, 8-2. Todorovic, 12-5. 6'4 to 6'1. Wow, Reese, 3 inches in height. I didn't realize he was 6'4. He also has 3 inches in reach. So reach and height, 3 inches for Zachary, 77 to 74. Switch stance. He's all over the place for Zachary Reese and orthodox for Dusko Thunder Todorovic. Let's start with Zachary Reese, man. I've been watching this guy since he came off of Dana White's Contender Series. 31 from Texas. 7 of his 8 wins by finish. He's gotten, 6 KOs? And once 5 KOs and 2 subs, and both of his defeats have came by knockout. This dude is as action-packed as it gets. He's a wild card. They don't call him Savage for no reason. Dana White's Contender Series gets taken down by Eli Aronoff right away, wraps up an armbar. Brutal, amazing. Makes his debut. He's coming in undefeated, locks up a submission on Cody Brundage, and Cody Brundage slam knocks out him. He slams him down and knocks out. It was so, so embarrassing. Following that, takes on Julian Marquez in UFC Louisville and knocks him out in 20 seconds. It was so hype. I was at a Twin Peaks with my boy Jaden, my cousin Parker, his buddy, and the whole place was going nuts. We were going, oh my gosh, he's knocking him out. It was so exciting. Then makes a quick 2-month turnaround, takes on Jose Daniel Medina, which should have been a layup fight, and he just chooses to grapple him through all three rounds and gets the win. Good enough. Then, last time he fought, January 18th, UFC 311, Azamat Bekov knocked him out in 3 minutes. But to be fair, no one realized how good Azamat Bekov was until he took out Ryan Loader and just utterly ran through him and knocked him out cold. So let's not hold that against Zachary Reese. You know, the Cody Brundage one, Cody Brundage has sneaky prelim power. We done known that Cody Brundage is such a wild card, but for Azamat Bekov, that dude is as legit as they come, and I'm excited to see what's next for him. So Reese, don't sleep on him. He's super exciting. The 2-2 UFC record, he's much better than that. His opponent, though, Dusko Todorovic. I'm so perplexed how Dusko is still being given UFC fights. He's also 31. He's from Serbia. 8 knockouts and 3 subs give him also all but 1 fight by finish. And of his 5 defeats, he's been knocked out 4 times. He's been knocked out 4 times of all his defeats. Oh, it's been brutal. It's been a brutal run for Dusko, and he came in, man. He had so much prowess. He was 10-0. He's knocking out Daquan Townsend in 2020. Then takes on Punelli Soriano. Punelli knocks him out round one And I was kind of like, damn, okay. Then comes back, takes on Gregor Rodriguez, and Gregor Rodriguez grapples him to a victory, very random. Takes on Maki Pitolo, knocks him out in round one. We're like, okay, he's back. Then takes on Chidi and Chukane. Chidi and Chukane knocks him out. All right, now we're in October 2022. Takes on Jordan Wright in a fight of the night, and he knocks him out, and it was legendary. And then his lone fight in 2023, Christian Leroy Duncan is fighting him, and then he gets injured, sadly. Then it comes back in November 2024, takes on Mansoor Abdul-Malik. But, yeah, Mansoor Abdul-Malik is an absolute wrecking machine, and he runs through him in 2 minutes and 45 seconds. So, Dusko, you know, it's not impressive. He's 3-5, actually, in the UFC, all of those, but one coming by knockout. But I do think this is a fight he can win. I do think this is a fight that Dusko could win. Now, am I picking him to win? Absolutely not. I'm picking Zachary Reese to knock him out in round one. That's my prediction. Also, Zachary Power. You know, I got to root for my boys from Minnesota. I got to root for my Zachs. That's how we do things here. But for this fight, I mean, seeing how wild both of these guys have fought. And, you know, as we look at Dusko's fights, you know, obviously the Punahele, the Gregory, the Chidi, those are tough losses. But Christian Leroy Duncan, he got hurt. And then he came back over a year and a half later, and he's to take on this young up-and-comer with crazy knockout power. I mean, Mansoor Abdul-Malik has insane knockout power. He also fought in February recently, destroyed Nick Klein. So let's not give Dusko too much hate, as I was, you know, kind of flacking on him. But I will say Zachary Reese should win this one. I'm predicting him to win this one. But don't, you know, like I'm just saying, I'm always throwing it out there. Don't sleep on him. Don't sleep on him. With that, we are getting into our 5-fight main card. I'm assuming they're just going to split it 5-5. But for some reason, I don't know if it's Macy Chison. I don't know if it was Calavera, but someone came in heavy. And our women's bantamweight matchup between the number 3 and number 5 ranked Calavera and Macy Chison is now at women's featherweight. So I'm not trying to say, like, oh, they came in overweight. But hey. Maybe it was booked like this. I don't think it was. But, yeah. Ketlin Phenomenal Vera takes on Macy Chison. Ketlin 14-4. Macy 11-3. 5'11 to 5'8. 3 inches in height for Macy. And also 4 inches in reach. Wow. 72-68. Orthodox stance for both of these ladies. Minus 105 and minus 115. Odds makers cannot decide between these two. First off, the number 3 ranked Ketlin Vieira, 33 years old, from Brazil, 6 of her 14 wins by finish, so a decision machine, I can't lie, 2 knockouts and 4 subs. Of her 4 defeats, she's only ever been submitted once, and these two were actually supposed to fight February 22nd, and actually, wow, they're actually supposed to fight February 22nd, 2024, and January 13th, 2025, so these two have been waiting to get after each other. Last time Ketlin fought, October 2024, took on Kayla Harrison. Now, I will say, with that Kayla Harrison fight, she was able to avoid getting submitted. I'll say that. She was actually able to win a round on one judge's scorecard, that round being, I think, round 2, but clearly lost round 1, clearly lost round 3, and in all honesty, lost the entire fight. But Ketlin Vieira has been with the company, you'd be surprised, 9 years now. You know, some of her highlights, you know, she was able to take on Sarah McMahon and get a finish. It's been her only UFC finish. She had a main event against Misha Tate and Holly Holmes and won both of those, then lost to Hakeem Pennington. Her last win, July 2023, over Pan Kianziad. And Pan Kianziad is currently not even ranked. Oh, I don't even think she's in the company. So, Ketlin Vieira, yeah. Yeah, Ketlin Vieira hasn't done much, but I will say, you know, she doesn't get finished. Last time she was finished, 2019, so those are positive we can point out. Yeah, Ketlin Vieira, little to be desired. But now let's get to the number 5 ranked Macy Chison. When I think of entertaining women's bantamweights, this one does come to mind. The 33-year-old from Louisiana. I mean, come on, can we not push this back to July to just let her fight at Louisiana? But it is what it is. 6 of her 11 wins coming by finish, but she's been getting more finishes recently, okay? Just to let you all know, over 3 defeats. Two of them have came by finish, unfortunately. Macy Chison, ranked number 5, been with the company since 2018, won the Ultimate Fighter. Funny enough, won the Ultimate Fighter, came into the UFC, 2 straight knockout wins, runs into Lena Landsberg in 2019. Oh, well, 2 straight wins, runs into Hakeem Pennington, beats Norma Dumont. Then, the Ariel Aldana loss, she was beating Ariel Aldana. She should probably be on a 4-fight winning streak. And utterly, honestly, probably could have been getting a title shot right now. But Ariel Aldana hit her with an up kick and hit her perfectly in the liver. And it legit crumbled her right there, which was just unfortunate to see. Took over a year and a half off, comes back March 2024, beats Pan Kianzad, submits her in round one, performance bonus, comes back in June of last year, takes a Maribel Swindle, Silva brutalizes her, the fight is stopped 2 minutes into round two because there's such a brutal gash on the forehead of Maribel Bueno Silva. So Macy Chessone, she's coming in, she's violent, and I believe the odds are actually moving towards her more being a favorite. We might have actually plus 100 to minus 105, Macy Chessone being the favorite, but I'm going with Macy Chessone. Now, I won't lie. These women's bantamweights love to lose to each other when they shouldn't. I kid you not. This is a fight that Macy Chessone should so definitely win, but this will be a fight that Calavera pulls out of the bag or something. So we're going Macy Chessone. I'm feeling a decision. I'm feeling it could be exciting. Now, Calavera hasn't been finished in a while, so I think Macy Chessone could rely on that ground and pound she used against Maribel Bueno Silva. That could prove beneficial, but you're on the side of caution with a finish, and we'll predict a decision to take place. Next up, you know, this whole fight card isn't actually too bad. You know, I'm not trying to be too critical of it. So we have great fights here, right here. Light heavyweight division, Dustin, the Hanya Jacoby back in action as he takes on Bruno Brunão Lopez. Jacoby 29-1. Wow, over 30 professional fights. Bruno Lopez 14-1. 6'3 to 6'2, 1 inch in height for Dustin and 2 inches in reach, 76-74. Orthodox stance for both of our fighters. Dustin minus 215, Bruno plus 150. Dustin Jacoby, you know, he's floated in and out of the UFC rankings. I'll tell you that. This dude is ageless, man. 37 years old from Colorado. 13 knockouts and 1 submission. 14 of 20 wins coming by finish. And of his 9 defeats, he has been finished 4 times. Dustin, been with the company since 2011. This is his second stint, but his first stint was an 0-2. Run in 2011, 2012, but since coming back in 2020, winning on Dana White's Contender Series, I mean, this dude has just been on a roll. Like, honestly, I'm going to say this dude has been on a roll. He is currently 8-4 with a draw. 8-4 with a draw. And let me just take you through all this, right? Comes back, wins on Dana White's Contender Series, debuts in 2020, knockout. Okay, 2021, win, draw against Ian Kutalaba. By the way, it got 10-8 in round one against Ian Kutalaba and fought back to win. Knocks out Darren Stewart, goes on a little four-fight winning streak, also knocks out Du Wong Jung. Then runs into Khalil Roundtree Jr., October 2022, and this fight, I stand by this. I have no idea how Khalil won this. By the way, I predicted Khalil to win. I didn't think he won the fight at all. Dustin Jacoby outstruck him by 35, 45 significant strikes, and I was taken aback, man. So taken aback. Following that, takes on Azamat Mirzakhanov. Azamat Mirzakhanov had the fight won at so many chances, and Dustin just kept fighting back. It was beautiful to see. August 2023, two-minute knockout of Kenny and Chuka. Actually, a minute 22 knockout, if you will. December 2023, takes on Alonzo Menifield. Almost a similar fight to the Azamat Mirzakhanov fight. Just sloppy. Somehow Dustin avoids getting finished. Then, last defeat, June 2024. Okay, Dominic Reyes knocked him out in 2 minutes, but to be fair, the Devastator's back. Dominic Reyes is completely freaking back, okay? Let's preface that right here. And then, Dustin Jacoby, proven he may be one of the greatest gatekeepers of all time, knocks Vitor Petrino out, Kamaru Usman, Jorge Masvidal style, on the final event of 2024. It was so freaking good. And as we thought of this, because Dustin Jacoby is an absolute killer. So, his whole career has been exciting. His last few fights have been very exciting. Don't be put off by the 2-4 over his last 6. This dude is action-packed. His opponent, Bruno Lopez, I don't know much about. 32. From Brazil on a little 3-fight winning streak, 11 of 14 wins by finish, 6 KOs, 5 subs, so he does it all kinds of ways. Fought on Damon's Contender Series in 2023, knocked out in round 1 by Brenson Ribeiro. Comes back August 2024, knocks out Mikel Sazziani, no idea who that is. Then debuts officially January of 2025 of this year, takes on Magomed Gaziluev and grapples his way to a victory. So they clearly think highly of Bruno Lopez to give him someone like Dustin Jacoby, but I would rather get this wrong than go against the Hanyak. Give me Dustin Jacoby all day. You know what? Dustin Jacoby, round one knockout. Again, I think Dustin Jacoby has sneaky dad power. He's honestly the dad where, you know, your daughter is getting like someone's roughing her up and he shows up and he's just knocking out all these crappy little high school dudes. I don't even know what I'm saying, but Dustin Jacoby all day. I'll ride with them. Low-key, this might be my favorite fight on the card. I can't even lie. This might be the fight I'm looking forward to most. But let's drop down and wait to the welterweight division. Billy Ray Goff, Ramiz Brahim Majin. Dude, these two guys weren't even supposed to fight each other. You know, Billy Ray Goff's supposed to take on Sungyeok Choi. Remy's Bramage supposed to take on Obad Elliott. And both those guys getting pulled off of this card. So they're like, hey, do you two just want to fight each other? They're like, ah, sure, man. Let's just freaking do it. So Billy Ray Goff coming in, minus 340 favorite. Remy's the plus 270 underdog. 9-3 for Billy Ray Goff, 11-5 for Remy's Bramage is their professional records. Both men are 5'10". Both men have a 72-inch reach. Switch stands for Billy. Orthodox for me. This is a great matchup, actually. You know, I think this matchup falling apart was meant to be. These two just seem made to fight each other. They're just so similar in so many aspects. But where they do differ is kind of in their fight style. So first off, Billy Ray Goff, 26 years young, from Connecticut. Of his 9 wins, 7 knockouts. Of his 3 defeats, he's only ever been finished once by TKO. So yes, he was, of course, supposed to fight Sungyeok Choi. He also had 2 other canceled bouts in 2025, early in the year. Last time he fought, May of 2024, was a fight of the night loss to Trey Waters. Before that, knocked out Kusaku Kinoshita in his debut in August 2023, won on Dana White's Contender Series in 2022. Dude's been doing one fight a year, so it's been kind of tough for Billy Ray Goff to get active. I will say he has some of the most flowy hair. I mean, he has hair that they put on like a cologne model when you see in the store or something. So Billy Ray Goff has some good flow. As for his fight style, you know, it's easy to look at a fight of the night, but I won't lie, he lost that. I don't know how he lost that fight. I can't really remember it. That was a UFC Fight Night, Lewis and Nascimento. That was a weird one. That was St. Louis, wasn't it? So, yeah. Billy Ray Goff coming in, back in action. We'll see how he does here. But as for Remy's Bramage, I am much more familiar with Remy's Bramage's game than I am Billy Ray Goff. 6 years older, 30 years old, from the Bronx, from New York. 1 KO and 10 subs give him a 100% finish rate. And of his 5 defeats, he's only ever been finished once. He was knocked out in 2020. That was it. That's all that's happened. And I won't lie, Obad Elliott is much harder of a competition than Billy Ray Goff. So I think if anyone has benefited from this, it's Remy's Bramage. This is much more of a winnable fight for Remy's Bramage. Remy's been win-loss. Since joined the company, he's 3-3, and you know, it's gone. Max Griffin knocks him out. He submits some random. He then takes on Court McGee, who humbles him. He then submits Michael Gilmore. He then takes on Thembo Grimbo, May 2024, gets out grappled through 3 rounds, and then takes on Mickey Gall at UFC 309, and just had one of the greatest knockouts I've seen. Just had him up against the cage. He was looking like Rocky Balboa taking on the German, not the Russian guy. He's boom, 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 and he knocks him out. And Ramiz went absolutely crazy. They give him a 50K performance bonus, and that's all I'm familiar with Ramiz Bramage. But as for this fight, you know, Ramiz, he's a grappler. Ramiz is a grappler. He was just feeling himself against Mickey Gall. He's going to grapple in this fight, and all I've seen from Billy Ray Goff is that he can strike, and he can grapple, and he can take hits. So I think this is going to be, if Billy Ray Goff can stuff the takedowns and maybe even get a knockout of his own, he'll get the victory. But when I look at the underdogs on this card that are so appetizing, you know, we haven't taken a single underdog. We haven't taken a single underdog today. We have to. The favorites never go 10 for 10, 11 for 11, 12 for 12. I'm really liking Remy's Bramage. This is a short notice fight technically for both guys, but they were both prepared for this camp. They're both very similar. And as much as, you know, it's not too much of a difference, you know, Billy Ray Goff fought just over a year ago and Remy's fought, what was it, just 7 months ago? I do think Remy's is a bit more fresh. That's what I'll say. Remy's had 2 fights in 2024. Billy Ray Goff has had 1 fight per year. So we're going to go with Remy's Bramage. Round 1 submission. We're going to keep his 100% finish rate intact. But ear on the side of caution. We're going to ear on the side of caution for this one. But then we'll get into kind of our 2 big heaters. Kind of our 2 big heaters on this card. The co-main event. It's pretty weird to see this guy here on just on an Apex random card taking on an unranked guy. We have the number 7th ranked Matus Gamer Gamrot. Matus Gamrot is on this card in the co-main event as he takes on Luvit, Mr. Highlight Klein. Matus, minus 155, Luvit, plus 130. Odds are close. Odds are really close for this. Matus Gamrot, 24-3 with a no contest. Ludwig Klein, 23-4 with a draw. 5'10 to 5'7, you get 3 inches in height for Matus, 2 inches in reach for Ludwig, 72-70. Southpaw stance. I didn't even realize both these guys were lefties, but Matus Gamrot. Son of a gun, happy to see you, man. Been a minute since he fought someone that wasn't a top 10 guy in the world. So Matus Gamrot, 34 years old from Poland. You know, he's got 13 finishes and 24 wins, 8 knockouts, 5 subs. He's, where's he at? Where's he at? Where's my little notes right here? That's all we got. Oh, that's it for Matus Gamrot. My bad. So, yeah, Matus Gamrot, I mean, we know him. You know, came in 2020, fight of the night against Gurram Kuladze, should have won it. Went on a crazy four-fight winning streak, finishes, fight of the nights against Armin Sarukian, takes on Benil Dariush, gets humbled, then goes on a three-fight winning streak over Jalen Turner, Rafael dos Anjos, then takes on Dan Hooker. And okay, I stand by this. I thought Matheus Gamrot won that fight. I know I was biased because I picked him, but I mean, come on. These two are so even in the striking, and we just didn't reward Matheus for any freaking takedowns. Okay, round one was clearly Matheus. Round two, clearly Dan Hooker. And it came down to the final round. And when they're going back and forth and striking, and it's Matheus who lands a takedown, and I know he didn't do much with it. He only had about 51 seconds control time. But, man, completely changed the career trajectory of Matheus Gamrot. Because now you got Dan Hooker. He's ranked number 6 in the world. Matheus is number 7. And Hooker's fighting up. And Gamrot's ranked number 7. And he's fighting unranked guys. So Matheus Gamrot, he's a world beater. He's been a double champion in, I think, KSW. Like, we all know about Matheus Gamrot. Now, the fairly unknown man, I will say, is Ludvig Klein. Ludvig, 30 years old, from Slovakia. He has 17 finishes and 23 wins, 9 knockouts, 8 subs. And of his 4 defeats, he has been finished 3 times. Now, the win streak, very impressive, dating back to 2022. Came in the UFC, got a nice knockout in his debut, then went on a little 2-fight losing streak, but since that, hasn't looked back. Now, these wins, Devontae Smith, Mason Jones, 2022, draw against Jai Herbert, 2023, win over Ignacio Mahomedes in 2023, has aged very, very well. 2024, knocks out AJ Cunningham. 2024, decision win against Thiago Moises. September 2024, takes on Roosevelt Roberts. Couldn't finish him, which was kind of a tough scene. So, Ludvig Klein, I mean, he's all right, but I'm going to be very surprised if Matheus loses. My jaw will be dropped if Matheus Gamrot loses this. Seeing that Matheus Gamrot is going from fighting Jalen Turner's, Rafael dos Anjos, Dan Hooker's, Benil Dariush's, Armin Sarukian's, and then fighting Ludvig Klein, it just doesn't really sit well with me. So I got Matheus Gamrot getting a win here, and you know what? Round two submission. It's been a long time coming since we got a Matheus Gamrot finish. Okay, let's get a Matheus Gamrot finish. We're backing our boy. I'm a big gamer fan. Let's get it, Matheus Gamrot. But with that, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to our main event of the evening. Honestly, zero hype. Zero hype on this. I know June and July and August are going to bless us, but end in May on kind of just a boring note. We got the number 4 ranked Erin Blanchfield taking on the number 5 ranked Maxie Barber in the women's flyweight division. To make matters worse, Erin Blanchfield has said nothing. She has said nothing in the build-up to this. Maxie Barber has been doing all the trash talk, and Maxie Barber doesn't make weight. Oh my gosh, just brutal. Just honestly so brutal here. Erin, cold-blooded Blanchfield, Maxie the future Barber, 13-2 for Erin, 14-2 for Maxie. Erin's the favorite, minus 240, Maxie plus 200, 5'5 to 5'4, 1 inch in height for Barber, 1 inch in reach for Erin, 66-65. Orthodox stance for Blanchfield, switch stance for Barber. You know what? That's all you get. That's all you got there. You got these two 20-year-olds going at it. We'll see how it goes. Erin Coldblood Blanchfield, 26 years old, from New Jersey. Over 13 wins, 2 KOs, and 4 subs. And you know what? She's good. I think Erin Blanchfield is very, very talented. Coming into the UFC, she was on a crazy win streak, and the win streak kept adding up. You know, she was 6-0 in the UFC, wins over Jessica Andrade, Molly McCann, Miranda Maverick, Talia Santos. Then takes on Manon Fiorot, and she gets not only to fight Manon Fiorot, but in front of her home city of New Jersey. Home state, if you will. It bites the bullet. Drops every single round. Maybe one judge gave her one round, but very embarrassing. Last time she fought, November 2024, she rebounded from that with another main event, and she beat Rose Namajunas in Canada. And, you know, I think a lot of people, that was a 50-50 fight. That was like, okay, it's round 5, and we haven't seen anything from either of these women. And guess what? You know, they gave it to Erin Blanchfield. She was able to get it done. She outstruck her. She had more control time, but little to be desired, really. And to be fair, Erin Blanchfield is exciting. That little 3-fight finish streak she had from 2022 to 2023, very exciting. The Talia Santos fight, kind of boring. Manon Fiorot fight, boring. Rose Namajunas fight, boring. So the one detractor for me picking Erin Blanchfield is that she's not exciting. which isn't really a thing I should bring into account when I'm choosing whether I think someone's going to win or lose. But her opponent, Macy Barber, she's been exciting. Macy Barber done been exciting. 27 years old from Wisconsin on a 6-fight winning streak. 8 of 14 wins by finish. 6 KOs, 2 subs. She was supposed to take on Rose Namajunas July 13th. Instead, she had to pull out, obviously, Tracy Cortez or whatever came in for that fight. And now look where it's at. Erin Blanchfield with the win over Rose Namajunas, and Macy Barber hasn't fought since March 2024. Now, 6-fight win streak, very good, but she has that shaky win over Miranda Maverick, boring decision win over Matea De La Rosa, boring win over Jessica Ai, boring win over Andre Lee, which a lot of people didn't think she won. The win over Amanda Hibas, June 2023, very exciting. Last time she fought, March 2024, beat Caitlin Cerminara. Nothing exciting there. There's little to be loved. But now, to be fair, the last time she lost was in 2021 against Alexa Grasso, which I do think we have to give her some credit for. So 9-2 in the UFC. I think it's good change of the guard here. You know, the winner of this is going to be moved up to, I think, the number 3 spot in the rankings. I think they'll move them past Alexa Grasso, maybe even past Amanda Piorot. Who knows? But this is so 50-50. I don't even know who to pick, you know. Obviously, Erin has fought more recently. It's so tricky, guys. It's so tricky. So grappling, it's Blanchfield. Grappling is easily Blanchfield all day, but striking is clearly Macy Barber. So, this is tricky. Let me take a quick look at how that Erin Blanchfield and Rose Namajunas fight went. Because it was 48-47 across the bat. Rose won round one. Erin round two. Erin won rounds one. No, Erin Blanchfield won round two, three, and four. And I think, I have no idea. She had 9 minutes of control time. I have no idea what the judges were watching in this. I didn't watch it this whole card. It was so boring. But honestly, Rose Namajunas might have won rounds one and two. And then Erin won round three through five. So, very interesting. Another thing to take into account is Erin Blanchfield has never had, Macy Barber's never had a 5-round fight. Erin Blanchfield has now had like 3 in a row. So, we have to decide. We can't be too indecisive. I don't know. I can't decide. You know, this is the indecision I face when I'm on here. So, Amanda Piorot beat her in the striking. I'm going to say Macy Barber beats her in the striking. I'm going to go with Macy Barber. We're going with Macy Barber in this one. If we get it wrong, oh well. I don't really care. I honestly don't really care, but should be exciting. My favorite fight I'm looking forward to, Dustin Jacoby, the Zachary Reese fight. Probably Matheus Cameron, Ramiz Brahmach. There's a couple bangers on here, but yeah. Lots more exciting stuff to come in the month of June. Let me just remind you guys, after this, it's UFC 316. Then it's UFC Atlanta. Then it's UFC Azerbaijan. Then it's UFC 317. Then it's UFC Nashville. Then it's UFC New Orleans. Then we're going to Abu Dhabi. I mean, we are in for the greatest, month, summer of UFC that we've had in a while. But yeah, we'll be back quicker than usual with another episode, guys. I'm pretty sure we're obviously going to do a little recap on this. There's so many other things I want to talk about. Saturday night's main event with WWE, Money in the Bank coming up with that as well. I wanted to rank all my college classes, I think, since I'm done now. My Italy trip, I've been watching some movies, reading some books, lots of stuff to talk about in the future. But also, trying to build a social presence, guys. I'm out of college. I have no more excuses. It's time to finally start building the dream life I've been wanting to build. So, with that, I'll send you all off. I want you all to have an amazing weekend, have an amazing life. And as always, you know the spiel. I'll catch you next time on the Surprise Jab Podcast.